All right, how's everybody doing here tonight? Good, some really good stuff Dan taught on Sunday, huh? How many of you guys thought about those things? Hopefully it answered a lot of questions. There's a lot of stuff said, man. That was awesome. Let's go over to the book of Revelation. Chapter 22. Now, chapter 21, 22, there's some wonderful things said here. Really keeps showing a wonderful reconciliation and work of God. And one of the things, as you know, I've talked quite a bit about the curse, and there's something that the Lord addresses in this chapter, actually in chapter 21. I guess we could go there first. And I'm going to paraphrase through this because I'm not going to cover both chapters. But John talks about the new heaven and the new earth, right? Now, Jesus said heaven is like unto a man. So if we're talking a new heaven and a new earth, what are we talking about, Amanda? We're talking about a new man, aren't we? Is that what God made in the beginning? You guys heard what Dan talked about, what Rick said on Sunday morning? God wants to take you back to that beginning and do what? Create something in you. What's he want to create? So create that new man, doesn't he? So he talks about this new heaven and this new earth, and how he saw the holy city of God coming down as a bride, adorned for her husband, out of heaven from God, and talks about the tabernacle of God being with men, and how God's going to dwell with them, and shall be they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and wipe away their tears, and no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, because all these former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, I make all things new. That is a wonderful, wonderful promise, that God's going to make all things new. That's awesome. And he said, these words are true and faithful. He said, it is done. I'm Alpha, I'm Omega, the beginning, the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh. Now, Jesus spent 7 times visiting those churches in the book of Revelation. And what did he always end with? A declaration, Keith, of overcoming, right? And a promise to the overcomer. And he says here, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But listen to what he says in verse 8 here, and this is very important. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, let's go keep right in that same vein over to the 22nd chapter. And John is declaring this river of water of life proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and talking about the tree of life and all the fruit that it bears. And in verse 3 says, there shall be no more curse. So along with all things that are former being passed away, and God creating a new heaven and a new earth, and God being our God and we being his people, and God being with us and we being with the Lord, all of those things of the former are going to pass away. Everything of sin and death, it'll be no more. And there shall be no more curse. That's awesome. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servant shall serve him. They shall see his face. Wouldn't you like to see the face of the Lord? That'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? And his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no more night. And let's move down here, and he says, these again are faithful and true. These sayings of the Lord are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophet sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Those things that must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And then he says, I want to say in, verse 12. Again, he repeats some things here about his reward being with him and he being the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then in verse 14, this is what we wanted to get to. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Now, we taught last week, and John mentioned what the commandment was. Who remembers? Loving one another, right? And what was the keeping of the commandment? That we should walk in that commandment. So we love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, all of our soul, all of our mind. And that just works itself all the way down even to this very life, does it not? And he said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Now we know how that got lost, right? Adam had right to the tree of life until he broke the commandment. So the breaking of the commandment is what ceases access to the tree of life. So if breaking the commandment puts you out, then keeping the commandment does what for you? Puts you back in. And isn't that the goal? Now, we're just talking a very simple thought here tonight about in and out. Paul said it like this in Corinthians. He says, in order to sin, a man must be without the body. So my question to you is, are you in the body of Jesus? Are you in the body of Christ? Or are you without the body? You say, well, I don't know that I know the answer to that. That's why I reference what Dan taught on Sunday, because that actually answered that question for you. If you paid attention, if you had an ear to hear Sunday morning, you should actually be able to answer the question I just asked you. Are you in or are you out? It's a pretty simple question, right? What do you think? To be in the body, to be without the body? Because you could go a lot of different ways here tonight with that comment or that question there. I want you to think about it from a mindset. Jesus, when he walked with the disciples, right before he was taken up, breathed on them and told them what? He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, didn't he, Keith? He was with them for 3.5 years. One of the most amazing things to me is that they were with Jesus, saw his signs, saw his miracles. They were there witnessing his word, his preaching, his authority, his power. And there were many comments said, no one preaches like this. No one has word with such power and authority as this man does. He's got to be of God. But yet them good old Pharisees, man. I say good old Pharisees, but we know they were more than, you know, just a bunch of good old boys, right? They were wicked. Jesus said they were white sepulchers full of dead men's bones. They always question mark. Of course, if you go to John, I believe it's you starting around chapter 6 going into chapter 8. Boy, Jesus laid out exactly what they were. They were children of the devil. But they were there witnessing the Lord every time he taught, every time he preached, every miracle that he did. But to the very end, they were in the boat with him. And Jesus is again expounding the things of the kingdom of God. And they begin to say, now we believe you. And he's like, now? Now you believe me after all this time? I've been with you for 3.5 years and now you believe me? It's easy to be in that spot, isn't it? To be in this thing for all this time and still not know whether we're in or out. To still not know if we're part of the church of the living God. But see, here's the catch, guys. Prophecy has made you so. Even if you have not come into the consciousness or the awareness of where you're at in God, you can trust in this simple truth. Everything that's being taught to you, everything that's been preached to you, everything that's been prophesied to you has put you in. It has put you in prophecy. It's put you in the thought of God. It's put you in the mind of God. God's got a plan for you. He's got a will for you. He's got a desire for you. And the reason that you're here is because God has promised you that he's going to bring you into the fulfillment of all those things that he has said unto you. Because make no mistake about it, God's words are true and they are faithful. I remember one of the first experiences I had a few years ago where I saw the finger of God right into the breastplate of this being. And it was fire, and the words were true and faithful witness. It's not about understanding everything at that time, but there was one very big takeaway. It was that even though you may not be there at that moment, you may not be the finished product, you know now by prophecy what God's taking you to. You know where God's taking you. You know what you're going to become when God gets done with you. And that's what the Word of God does for us. It's everything from Genesis to Revelation. You look at Genesis when God says, "Let there be light." And you see the beginning of that creation, the beginning of the creation of God there in Genesis 1. And you don't fully understand the whole thing because you can't see the whole thing. All you hear is a word from God. And it's agitating those waters, and there's light coming to the thing that is darkness. And you look at St. John, or the Gospel of John, if you will, and it says light came into the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. That's us. That's us. That's us. Like Paul said, you were once Gentile. You were once darkness. You didn't comprehend everything that God said to you. But see, that's something about the light of God, isn't it? It creates in you the right mind, the right word, the right perception. It's intended to bring you from this place to the place God has called you to. And that's what God's doing for us. Along the way, here's the interesting part. Because I love how Dan exploited that thought about Peter having to deny the Lord. That was very good, because we don't like to think that way, right? We don't like to think that we're ever going to fail, even though we've already failed. In the fall, you failed. In the fall, you sinned. In the fall, you did not understand. You could say, going back a few weeks ago when we talked about Adam and Eve and how all died in Adam, you may not have the consciousness of that fall or have been there to experience that breaking of the commandment in Adam. But the truth still tells you that in Adam you died. So whether you consciously understand that or not, you died in Adam, which is why you're here. So what do you need? You need a Savior. It's very simple. So if Adam breaking that puts you into death, Jesus coming and keeping the commandment, Keith, and not working disobedience, not partaking of sin, by doing everything his Father told him to do and being truth, even in a body of death. Imagine that. Man, I'm telling you, there's so much weakness sometimes you don't think you could claw your way through. That there's weakness in the avatar. That it's just a reality. You need a quickening. You need a truth. You need a word from God to strengthen you spiritually, to be able to cause you to rise up and walk and do the will and mind of God. Trust me when I tell you. Otherwise, you're spinning and you're cycling and you're in a perpetual curse and you can't see your way out. This is what happens to people. They don't know what they're in. They've never come to a conclusion. They've never been able to put their finger on it. They don't know the weakness itself. They just know that they're in this thing where they wake up every few years and they're like, "My God, why am I not obtaining? Why am I not getting there?" But then the Word of God comes in and it begins to teach to the nth degree and just order the whole thing out. And if you've got an ear to hear and you can sit and you can listen and let the Word of God quicken you and teach you and talk to you, it will speak to you on it. Of course, along the way, it's going to address some things, isn't it? Because make no mistake about it, as we have been preaching diligently, Adam is going to get addressed along the way. I promise you, God's got some things to say to Adam and you. He's absolutely going to talk to Adam. He's going to talk to Eve too, because Adam needs Jesus. That's the whole point of Jesus coming. Adam can't be saved without Jesus. None of us can be saved without Jesus. So no matter the fault, no matter the weakness, no matter the sin, no matter the disobedience, Jesus overcame that by his obedience
unto death at the cross. So no matter what I did against God, and trust me, God will visit you on those things. Make no mistake about it. You will come to a reconciliation, Keith. It's not just about God giving you a pass. That's not how it works. You say, yeah, but the blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sins. Absolutely. But only when the sin is revealed. Only when the man of sin is made known to you. You can't repent from something you haven't been made aware of. You understand that? So there must be a denying of the Lord. Now, have you considered it such as this? That became a life lesson to Peter. Have you considered that God used that? You remember when Jesus showed up on the shore and had a conversation with Peter? You love me, Peter? Oh, buddy, he was addressing that. He was addressing something that needed to be addressed in Peter. Sorry about that. Hate when that happens. Technology. You say, well, no. Jesus addressed Peter back when he first touched him and said, not so. No, Peter, or the Lord addressed Satan in Peter. Now the Lord was addressing Peter. Peter, you love me? Well, Lord, you know I love you. He asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my sheep. And he asked him the third time, and Peter got grieved, huh? He got grieved. Do you love me? He's like, Lord, you know I love you. Now, this is the same guy that said, no matter what, Jesus, I'm going to go with you to death. I'm going to go with you to the ends of the earth, man. I'm going to follow you no matter what it costs me. If it costs me my life, I'm going to follow you. See, these are the things that we proclaim. This is the kind of stuff we brag about, we boast about. That's what the man of sin does. He's a boaster. He's malicious. He'll brag about his glory and his pride, the things he's proud in. Now, I'm not talking about just plain old sinners out here. I'm talking about people that follow God. Back where I came from in religion, Christians couldn't have devils. You couldn't be possessed. You couldn't have problems. Like once you repented and accepted the Lord as your Savior, you got baptized, you were filled with the Holy Ghost, and that was it, man. Only one problem with that, Keith. I got baptized 3 times, and I could not overcome the lust in my thoughts. Wasn't enough water in that tank, bro, to cleanse me of all the thoughts of lust and desire that worked in my spirit. What's going on here? Is the problem in the water? Is the problem in God? Is the problem in the preacher baptizing you? It's funny because we'll point the finger all the way around. Well, the first time, you know, they didn't do it in Jesus' name. They did it in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So that didn't work, obviously. That didn't work. So we got to do it in Jesus' name. Well, then we did it in Jesus' name. Well, that's because the preacher that did it, you know, he wasn't really very anointed. He was actually, you know, a little skipped out of town there. So try number 3, right? Because you're under such condemnation because you say one thing with your mouth. You're saying you love God. You're saying that you're going to do everything in your might to serve God. But your thoughts are betraying you. The desire of your own heart is betraying you. And you look at this thing, you're like, God, help me. I mean, you pray those kinds of ways, like, God, help me. You think like you spin a perpetual cycle in a curse. You don't think there's been hundreds upon hundreds of prayers where you cry out to God and say, God, help me. I don't want to be like this anymore. And then here comes that other voice, begins to talk to you. See, it just doesn't work. It's not going to work for you. You're just not going to make this trip. And that's the battle. That's the war. That man of sin in you will talk to you as long as you will listen. Pull you up a chair, sit you at a table. I mean, Paul said it like this. You're either going to sit at the table of the Lord or you're going to sit at the table of devils. What's it going to be? Because you make choice to do one or the other. You're either going to listen to the angel of the Lord or you're going to listen to this other guy. And that other guy's going to talk to you. The angel wants to talk to you. The Lord wants to talk to you. He would like to bring you into the Holy Ghost. He would like to bring you into the kingdom of God. He wants to baptize you into himself. Every preacher, every teacher, every ministry member among this body that gets up here and preaches and teaches with the anointing of the Holy Ghost has one intent: to teach and preach the revelation of Jesus Christ and baptize you into the body of Jesus Christ. Out of the body of the old man, out of the mind of the old man, into the newness of the revelation of Jesus Christ. The truth of Christ that will deliver you from sin, deliver you from death, deliver you from fear. Look at all these things that he talks about here. He says that, let me find it here. He talks about, blessed are those that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Now, Dan said something awesome Sunday about, you know, breaking down the gates of hell and going into hell and getting the thing that hell's got out. I don't know if he said it that exact way, but that's the way I see it, you know. You got to kick down the gates of hell, and God sends you into hell. He sends you into death. He sends you into those places of darkness to get something out of it that belongs to him. See, when you're in that kingdom of darkness, there's princes there, there's powers there, there's authorities there, there's kings there. You can pass through those places and come into contact, if you will, with some of those beings, and they know, trust me, they know you don't belong there. You're not one of them. But if you're in a sin of God, you can move through there and do the will and mind of God and get in and get out. Get what you were sent to get. You don't linger too much, because that's not the kingdom of God you're going in there. See, we like to step a little too long into some of those dark places. And if you sit too long at that devil's table, you'll begin talking about things that will begin to work in your consciousness, and before you know it, you feel a little heavier, don't you? You feel weighted down. You feel, I'll be honest with you, it's like a depression. Instead of being under the cloud of God that leads you and guides you, you're under a cloud of confusion, of condemnation. You don't want to linger in those things. When you have those thoughts rise up in you, what do you want to do with them? You want to side with the things of God. You want to agree with the word that has been sown to you. You want to think on those things. You don't want to sit there and mingle in those thoughts, because if you linger there long, even in a sin, you just want to do the will of God. You don't want to go there and mingle. You don't want to go there and you get into some things you wish you hadn't. You got to get in and get out. But enough of that. He says this, he says, listen, you can enter in through the gates into the city. Now, he's talking about the city of God, the New Jerusalem that I read to you guys. He says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. It reminds me, Peter and John, they were called upon, Keith, when Philip, the deacon, one of the seven deacons, filled with faith in the Holy Ghost, he was preaching in Samaria. And when he was preaching, he turned the city upside down, mind you, preaching the gospel of Jesus, powerful preacher. He's preaching the gospel, but there was one there named Simon the sorcerer, who had made himself a great one in the eyes of the people. He made himself a great one in the eyes of the people and had bewitched them. That's what a sorcerer does. He's an enchanter. He bewitches them. He mesmerizes them. There's a lot to be said about that. But we get mesmerized because we're enchanted. That man of sin will talk your ear off. And you know what? Before you know it, man, he'll have you persuaded, convinced. That's why it's quick. You got to move quick. You got to be very quick to side with the Lord in the matter. Don't sit there too long. Now, if God sent you, man, kick that door down, walk up to that table. You don't even have to take a seat. Just walk up to the table, put the word of the Lord on the table. That's what Habakkuk said, right? If you're gonna proclaim and prophesy a vision, put it on the tables and make it plain that they can read it, they can see it, they can understand it, they can partake of it. They can receive inheritance from it. That's the point of prophecy. Prophecy will bring you into the inheritance of a thing. It's intended to deliver you from the thing that has tried to kill you and bring you into life and salvation. That's God's intent. That's God's mind here. So old Simon, boy, he thought he was going to pull a number, but he had not met apostles filled with the Holy Ghost yet. Peter and John came down to lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. All of these that had come by way of the preaching of Philip. And this was Simon there interacting with Peter. And you guys can go read the story there in the book of Acts. But it didn't go well for Simon. Why? Because that sorcerer has no power against the anointing. Has no power against the Holy Ghost. Your sin, your death, everything that has ever tried to overcome you has no authority and power in the presence of the Holy Ghost. In the presence of Almighty God. When Jesus came into that angel in the book of Revelation, do you think any of that sin or any of that weakness had any power against Christ? None. None. But you know, there's things sometimes that just work in that flesh that you have to be patient for. You have to let God deal with some things. You have to let God deal with the hearts of men. That's why Peter said it like this on the day of Pentecost when he began to preach the gospel and he stood up full of the Holy Ghost and he began to preach with the anointing and he magnified the death of Jesus Christ that they killed by miracles, signs, and wonders among you, he said. When he come to the culmination of the end of that message, he said to them very simply, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Why would you say it like that? Because there's choice there. There's a mind there. There's a will there. You can choose life. You can choose death. You can choose God. You can choose the devil. You can choose heaven. You can choose the world. There's a song I remember. Rick probably remembers it too. It was one of his favorites. I can't remember hardly the words, but it talked about not losing your soul, gaining the whole world and losing your soul. And the singer was, I don't want to lose my soul. I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. I want to gain God. So if I have to lose my life to the world, my desire to the world, if I gain God, then I've come into something that is eternal. I may gain everything I've ever desired in this life, but if it's only according to the flesh, it's going to pass away anyway because 70, 80 years, Keith, it'll be no more. But the inheritance of God is forever. The promise of God is eternal. That's what God is saving us from. He's saving us from everything that is worth death. See, you got to think about this curse for a minute. You look at the way curses work, and it could be different for each and every one of us, depending on where you're at in God. I mean, honestly, you could go into your family line, and you could see very specific things in your family. Marvin, you may have things that work in your family that didn't work in Daniel and I's family. Kelly, you may have things that work in your family that maybe our family didn't struggle with in this lifetime. But then, Amanda, there may be things in my family that your family didn't deal with. But nonetheless, I remember very detailed on some of the struggles in being raised in the family we come up in. There are some predominant patterns of curses and sin and death. And I got news for you, man. For God to save us from all of that is absolutely amazing, Keith. It's amazing. Because most people in this lifetime will never experience some of the things we have by the grace of God. And that's only because God tapped us on the shoulder. God came after us. God called us for such a time as this. And when God sets his eyes on you and it's come to an end, it's come to the last time, if you will. John said, this is the last time. And God wants to go after that Antichrist. Then God, with great intent and great purpose, with great fervency, visits your temple. And it won't matter how much pride, it will not matter how much rebellion, how much disobedience, it doesn't matter how much sin, how great it has become, if the word and will of God for that time is to bring you out of that, the will of God's going to be done. And it is like lightning, man. I mean, that's how Jesus said he saw Satan fall from heaven, is by lightning. What do you think quickenings are? Every time a quickening of God comes to you, is that not the lightning of God's word? Putting light to the thing that is darkness, bringing understanding to the thing that has not comprehended, and adding wisdom and an understanding, and delivering you from an untruth, from a lie, delivering you from the intent. I mean, look at this thing. When you look at the way he read this, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. My God, man. Can you imagine having that kind of mind in you that not only loves lies, but whose intent is to make them, create them, cause them to come forth? That's a whole nother level of sowing and reaping. That's a man of sin sitting on the throne of your heart, full of pride and arrogance, working seven abominations. Now you say, man, that sounds horrible. That sounds intense. Yeah, but see, here's the catch. Jesus greater. Jesus greater than all the power of the devil, Michelle. No matter what he's done, no matter what he said, no matter what's been sown, you look at your family and you think of all the things your parents sowed to you that helped create, that helped enable, that helped set your course. And then God come into the mix and put his word into you and begin to quicken you and change the way you think. And one by one, word by word by word, line by line, God begin to deliver you from every cursed thought, every pattern that's ever worked in you. I'm not saying God's done with it, because it's been quite a journey, but it is amazing to look back 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And we've been in the church for a long time, Keith. We've been in like 40 plus years, man. I don't know how long I've been. I think I was 5 years old and I'm 54. Somebody do the math on that real quick. That's a long time, isn't it? Nobody's got it. 49? 49 years? Sitting in Sunday school before they got their claws into us. And hearing the good old word of God, man, hearing the Bible stories of God, hearing David and Goliath and Samson and all those wonderful stories, and feeling alive, feeling drawn, feeling like, my God, where are these stories coming from? These are awesome. Never fitting in. Growing up, never fitting in. Going to school, never fitting in. Never feel like you belonged. I never felt like I belonged because I didn't belong. I was not of this world. I just had not yet come to some of the understandings that God had in store for me. So was I in God? Absolutely. I was in God and God was in me. But were there some things, Keith, we didn't understand? I mean, growing up in church, growing up in religion, having a desire even to preach the gospel, even working the gifts and laying hands on people. I mean, we didn't do this out of maliciousness. We did those things. I can speak for me. We did those things because we thought it was God. We didn't do it for money. We didn't do it just to be seen. All those things were all there. I promise you, all of those things were there because those are the things that work in the flesh. It's all there. It's all there. But I'm going to tell you something else. Rick, I don't know if you remember, years and years ago, you told us something that was so powerful. You said, even then, God knew your intent. God knew your intent even then. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that that intent was of God and it came from the beginning. That's what John meant when he said God gave you a commandment in the beginning. See, God knows what we don't know. And the reason the beginning is so important is because when God begins to talk to you, the very thing he wants to do is take you back to that beginning and recreate you into that new man. Bring you into the understanding you didn't have as a child. Bring you into an understanding before the fall and teach you why the fall happened. I mean, listen, repentance takes on a whole new meaning when the man of sin is revealed, because now you know what you're repenting from. Now you know why Adam fell. Now you know what took place. What got you when that serpent was at work? The subtlety of it all. The lust of it all. The desire of it all. John said the whole world is full of wickedness. He's talking about this world. This world is full of wickedness. That's why we need Jesus. That's why you need Jesus in your heart. You need Jesus to come into your spirit, into your soul, into this avatar. You need the word of God that brings life to teach you, lead you, guide you. And all that flesh may kick along the way. It may stomp. It may scream. It may do everything in its power to resist God. But I'm telling you something, folks. Simon couldn't do it. Not a single devil. Look at Old Testament, New Testament. It wouldn't make a difference if you go back to Pharaoh. It does not matter. Every king, every prince, every power, every authority. I mean, the word of God says it clear. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So it doesn't matter how much sin, how much death, how much without, how much is really working in the mind, in the consciousness. Before God is done, the word that he has sent from heaven to you is going to create Jesus Christ in you. He's going to create Christ in you, and that Christ is going to walk you out of sin and death. I remember it like it was yesterday, man, waking up in a prison place, bound by chains in the earth, and all of a sudden, I wake up, and there's the Lord. And, you know, you could sit there and try to interpret every detail of the dream and get into all the schematics, and you know what? The Lord was there for one reason, and one reason only. He didn't deal with that man of sin up on the hill. He didn't deal with none of the spirits that were working that dream. He came for one reason. He came to get his son. That was it. That was in that dream. He came to get his son, and get his son he did. And as soon as those chains came off, and he healed me, put his hands on me and healed me, stood me up and walked me out. Keith, that's power, man. That's authority. I remember Dan's dream about you. Went right into the land of giants, bro, and walked you out. That's what God's here to do. God's here to create a new heaven, a new earth, Tim. Walk you out of sin and death. See, we want to sit around sometimes and get to feeling sorry for ourselves because of everything we're going through and all the garbage of the world. And I'm talking about this world, all the thoughts, the heaviness, the fear, the unbelief. Didn't you listen to what I said, what the scripture said? The fearful, the unbelieving, they don't get in. They are without. See, that's the good news of the gospel. No matter what works in that flesh, and the devil works there, mind you, but no matter what works in that flesh, to sin is to be without. To sin is without the body. That body's going to get burned up. That's what Peter was talking about when he said the heaven and the earth was consumed by fire. The elements were consumed. They were burned up. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about that old man. If there's a new heaven and a new earth that God creates and all the former things are passed away and heaven and earth is a man, then the elements that burn up that old heaven and old earth is that old man getting burned up by Jesus, bro. Burning away that chaff, letting the Holy Ghost come on you, come into you, and change you. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Those disciples didn't have what they had prior to the day of Pentecost. Peter had the Lord with him, bro. He had the revelation of the Lord with him. I mean, Dan, I don't have to recant everything Dan just taught on Sunday. But it was very clear. Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." You didn't get this by flesh and blood. This came by a revelation of the Father. You know that I am the Christ because the Father showed it to you. Man, that's awesome. And then just a chapter or two later, I think actually like later down in the same chapter, if not the next chapter, he's calling him Satan. That's amazing. Why? Because there were some things still going to get addressed there, wasn't it? But here's the catch. Peter became a changed man the moment Jesus entered into him. It was no longer being with him. It was no longer talking to him. It was Jesus going into him. And when you see it, you may not be able to put the exact words to it. You may not be able to describe it in this life. You can't draw it on a board. That's an amazing thing. We spent years drawing things on boards, but it does not relate the same way as experiencing it. Some things you just can't put to words in this life. You just got to be there. You got to see it. You got to partake in it. You got to see how God fills someone with the Holy Ghost. And when you do, you don't walk away with question marks. You don't walk away, was that God? You see, I'm almost done. You do not walk away from this thing. When the anointing comes on the scene, when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you don't get up from that experience going, was that God? I'm not sure. Was that the devil? Did I just make that up? What's going on? No. You walk away filled with the Holy Ghost, Keith. There's power now. There's authority now. There is a visitation of the Lord that has come into you. He's come into you and he has brought you into him. Now you're in his mind. Now you see with his eyes. Now you hear with his ears. Now you understand with his understanding. You interpret with his wisdom. You ain't got an abominable king working there. You got a righteous king. You got the King of Kings. This is what God's doing, man. God is here to save us, to deliver us. And you know, you say it's difficult because when I hear preaching like this, I think, well, you know, are you saying I'm a dog? Are you saying I'm a sorcerer? Are you saying I'm a whoremonger? No, I'm saying those are the things that work in your flesh, in your lust. Those things work there. That's what God is saving you from, but that is not who you are. That is not what you are. You were once of darkness, Paul said, but now you are of the light. How do you become of the light? The moment God speaks the light to you. The moment he says in Genesis 1 verse 2, let there be light. From that moment on, the word of God is present now. The word of God is there to move, to stir, to create in you the right heart. That's what David said, right? Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a right spirit. How does God do that? He has to visit you, doesn't he? He has to talk to you. He has to sow his word to you. That's sowing and reaping, man. God's the best sower and reaper there is. Everything God sows comes back to him. Everything. And it comes back in abundance. So imagine that now. God has given us a word. God has given you a word. You don't think that's coming back to God? Oh, you better believe it. That's the revelation you got from the Lord, Keith, on the reconciliation of the world back into himself. You don't think it's not coming back to God? Everything God has prophesied, even in this church, in this place, it's coming back to God. It's coming back. God intended it to be so. And no matter what that devil does to try to stop it, God's word shall prevail. You heard it, right? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can't stop it. Cannot stop it. So no matter what the curse, no matter what the sin, no matter what the death, Jesus Christ has come to give us life. He is the mediator between us and God. And I promise you this. Some teaching, some preaching, some good old-fashioned anointing in the Holy Ghost is all you need. That anointing will break every yoke. That anointing will make you free. It'll deliver you. Even when in your mind you're persuaded otherwise. Someone prayed for me. Someone prayed for Dan. Someone prayed for Rick. Believe it or not, someone prayed for us. You say, well, who prayed for? I want to know who prayed for me. Jesus. Jesus prayed for you. Oh, you thought I was talking about in this life? Well, I'm sure somebody in this life did pray for us. I might have even prayed for myself in the Lord some time ago. You just never know. But God's happy, isn't he? God's happy because it's coming together. God has promised us the Holy Ghost. And that's what Peter told him. You save yourself from this untoward generation. Repent.
be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall, not maybe, not if, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You guys with me? God bless you guys.